my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So we're going to continue on in our series of Keep Going. Anybody has the desire, they're going to just keep going on this morning. The attitude that I'm not going to stop until I get everything that God has promised to me. Amen. So we started in this series on last Sunday, and we talked about having this endurance. Amen. Endurance, and we gave the definition that endurance was the power to withstand great pain or hardship. It is the ability or the strength to continue on despite fatigue, despite stress or adverse conditions. So even though you may have in these stressful situations, we're not stressed out. Amen. But again, we always say around here that we may have some, there may be some pressure, but there is never stress because I realize that God is with me. And if he's there with me, I'm going to be okay. All right. So there may be some stressful situations, but I'm not stressed out. I'm not pulling my hair out. I'm not hitting my head against the wall. I'm not questioning how I'm going to get out of it because I already know that I've already won. Amen. So we may be a little tired because the enemy, he comes in, he knows that he cannot beat us. So he tries to wear us out. He tried to keep launching all these attacks to make us just feel tired and worn out. But guess what? I'm not going to give up because I feel tired. I'm going to gain my strength from God. Amen. If I wait on the Lord, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to get my strength renewed. Amen. So we gave also the definition of patient endurance. Patient endurance is the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith. So he's not going to stop. He's not going to, you know, give up, or he's not going to lose faith because it's a great trial that he's facing in the natural. Because, again, we may see these things in the natural, but God has already worked it out for us in the spirit realm, amen? We must not quit prematurely before we see the manifestation of the thing. So the enemy's job, again, is to cause you to try to make you quit. He knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear us out. But we have the commitment this morning that we're not going to quit. I'm not going to stop giving. I'm not going to quit on my family because they're not acting the way I think they should act. Amen. I'm not going to quit on my job because there's somebody there that I don't like. God's going to move them out the way and cause me to keep going prosperous, to move forward. Amen. So I'm going to keep my commitment to God, even though it may be a stressful situation. Amen. So in life, mistakes are inevitable, but the frequency rate is preventable. So in life, you may make some mistakes. Some we may know, we may make willingly. We may make the decision, I'm going to go and do something crazy. Don't know why you would do that, but sometimes that happens, okay? But sometimes mistakes happen, you know, willingly, or sometimes they happen when you don't know that you did something wrong. Like, I did not mean to offend you. I didn't know I even offended you. That was not my goal. But sometimes those things happen. But the thing is, we can prevent how often we offend people. Because if you do it on purpose, you know what you're doing, right? So some things are preventable if we, you know, think before we do certain things. So we have to make sure that we are allowing ourselves to be ruled and guided by the Holy Spirit. So today, for us to keep going, there are only three things I want to talk to you about today in order for us to keep going. And the first point I want to talk to you about today is we must have a righteous resolve. Everybody say a righteous resolve. Yes, a righteous resolve. That is where we have this conviction that I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. No matter how hard it seems, I'm not going to take any shortcuts. I'm not going to start adding kids to my taxes so I can get some extra money. I know I didn't birth 10 kids. I'm only going to claim my 2, right? Okay? Work with me this morning, all right? So I'm not going to do anything crazy because I'm tired. Because I'm tired of going through this test, I'm just going to start doing what I got to do to get out of it. No, I have a commitment that I'm going to do it God's way. And sometimes when it's tough or when the manifestation is not received quickly, we want to do things to help God out. God, you're taking too long. I'm just going to do this myself, okay? I prayed 2 weeks ago. You still ain't answered. I got this one. Okay, but that's not the commitment we have. If we are willing to wait forever, guess what? It really will not take that long. Because why? God has already said that I'm a man of my word, and I'm not going to lie to you. So now we just have to take God at his word and believe that it's going to come to pass. Amen? So we are looking sometimes for immediate manifestation and relief. And I don't know about you, but I love to have some relief. I don't deal with pain. Y'all, I heard my story last week about the chiropractor. I was in pain for a day. I called somebody. Okay, give me some relief. All right. So sometimes when we're looking for that quick relief, we allow ourselves to sometimes take the shortcut. That's not always good because we want to get out of it. I'm tired of going through this. How much longer? Forget it. I got it. No, God said, trust me. Okay. So now, when we have a commitment to do things God's way, he gives us his word that he will help us out. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. And we're going to read it out of the New Living Translation. And it says, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. So guess what? You don't have to try and get back at them. God said, you just keep pleasing me, I'll take care of that. That's little, okay? People talking, that's small. But guess what? I'm going to cause them to have to like you. They're going to want to find out, okay, God's been doing something good for you. So they're going to try to figure out what's, you know, what is it that you have that I can have so I can stop hating on you. You know what I mean? Because they want what you have. Because God says, when you please me, even your enemies, the people that cannot stand you, going to start liking you. They're going to start calling you, asking you, what is it that you're working with? It's God, you know? So they want to know, what is it that you have? Because God said, you just keep pleasing me. You keep your eyes on me, and I'll take care of the rest. Let's go to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 6. Psalms 1 and 6 says, for the Lord watches over. That means he guards the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So as I just said a moment ago, you just keep doing right. God said, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. I have a hedge around you. You're going to be okay. All right? And my next verse is Psalms 37 and 5. It says, commit everything you do to who? The Lord. Trust him. And guess what happened? He's going to help you. So commit everything. Roll everything over to him. Why? Because he says, you can trust me. I'm going to help you out. But the thing is, we say we trust him. But are we really trusting him when we're still holding on to it? If we're trusting God, we are really going to put that relationship in God's hand. We're not going to keep trying to figure stuff out, keep trying to do things to make somebody love you that don't love you. Okay. You're not going to, you know, sell yourself short for somebody who's already told you they don't want you. Okay. We're going to commit that person to God. And God said, I got them. You know, but again, we have to put them in God's hand. Roll that person over to God and stop doing things in the natural to try to gain their acceptance. Amen? He made a commitment that he will help you. So he's not saying, I think about it. He didn't say, maybe. You know, I guess you've been good this week. I guess I'll help you this week. But no, God says, if you commit that thing to me, I am guaranteed to help you out in this situation. And the good thing is that when God does it for you, he does it real good. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 14. I love this verse. It says, I know that everything that God does will last how long? How long is forever? Yes, forever. God says, the things that I do, it won't be temporary. This joy that I'm going to give you, it's going to last forever. This peace that you're going to experience when you trust me, it's going to last forever. And guess what it says? You can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. And one thing God does is to make us stand in awe of him. We're going to have to give the glory to God because it cannot be a man that could bless me like this. So God said, when I do something for you, it's going to be so big, the glory has to come to me. And the thing is, it's going to last forever. It won't be a temporary fix, but it's going to remain with you forever. So how do we do things God's way is the question you're asking this morning. And I'm so glad you asked me that question. Because Hebrews 12 and 1 encourages us to do what? Lay aside, throw away, strip off every weight and sin that tries to hinder us. So we're going to do things God's way by being more like him. So what are some weights that could hinder us from us to stop going? One of the things that we have to make sure that we don't do any longer is keep making excuses. We have got to rid ourselves of excuses. It is so easy to say, well, I didn't do it because, or I could do it, but, or I did, you know, want to try it, but we got to stop saying but, okay? Because the thing is, excuses is just exemption from responsibility, and it is a crutch for the uncommitted. So we can no longer keep saying, well, you know, I want to do this, but I don't know if I really can. Why can't you? You just talked yourself out of it. But the thing is, we have to make sure that we are not making excuses for why we're not doing something that we know that we are capable of doing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, don't put it off. Do it when? Do it now. Don't rest until you do it. Because one of the things I like to think about is if you go ahead and start now, you can look back in 6 months and see what you've accomplished. Instead of looking at 6 months and saying, dog, had I started then, I would be done by now. You know, so the thing is you have to make sure that we are moving forward because if not, nothing's ever going to get done. Because it's easy just to sit down and say, okay, well, they're doing good. You know, you know, she can go for it because her husband takes care of her. Well, that's an excuse, because there are a lot of single mothers that are making some stuff happen for themselves and their kids because they are not waiting on somebody else to bless them. So there really is no excuse for why you're not doing something that you really can do, because God gave everybody the same 24 hours in a day. The same 24 hours, if you wake up at 10 a.m. or 2 a.m., it depends on you. But you can make a lot happen from 2 o'clock in the morning to 10 a.m. Amen. That's 8 hours, you know, or you can just sleep to 12. I mean, so the thing is, you have the same time, but the thing is, well, you know, I didn't have enough time today. Why? Because you did not manage your time wise. So the thing is, we cannot make sure that we're using excuses, because are we really committed to the thing? Because if we're really committed to it, we will do what it takes to make it happen. Amen? And another way we have to make sure we rid ourselves of is the weight of comparison. Because so many times people are comparing or sizing themselves up to somebody else. But you don't know everybody's story. You don't know what that person has gone through or is going through to be where they are today. Because it's easy to come to church on Sunday morning with your smile on your face, and we should do that because we're going to put on the joy of the Lord, amen? But you never know what's going on inwardly with somebody. So to say, oh, I love her life, no, love your life. God has blessed you. God has equipped you with the same power that the other person has, amen? So let's not size ourselves up with somebody else because you don't know their story. What you're seeing is them just moving and not stopping in the midst of the odds or the obstacle, amen? So let's not compare ourselves against somebody else, because the Bible tells us that we become what? Unwise when we compare ourselves. Because again, you don't know what that person has gone through or is going through to get where they are. You don't know that that person may have a car that's, you know, 30% interest, but you want their car. No, you keep driving for free until God blesses you with something that you can't afford. So it looks good rolling down the road, but you don't know what it's costing that person to drive that car. So no, you just be content in where you are and realize that, God, you are elevating me right now in Jesus' name. So you keep confessing where you're trying to go, but at the same time, you're not comparing yourself to somebody else. Amen? So those were two weights, so we must make sure that we are not allowing ourselves to stop us from going forward. And we also, it said that there is the weight and the sin. So the weight and the sin, they're different. Okay, the weight is anything that would hinder you from pleasing God, where the sin, you know, is just what God told us not to do. Amen. And one of the, you know, we're all familiar with, you know, we're not supposed to fornicate. We're not to commit adultery. We're not supposed to lie. But one of the things we cannot make sure that we are, we must be careful that we are not so self-absorbed. We come and think that life is about us, that, you know, as long as I'm good, I'm good. You know, but no, it cannot be just about you. We have to have the mindset, you know, God, I thank you for blessing me, but, you know, bless somebody else sometimes. And it's so easy, especially in relationships when you're married, to always, you know, want things your way. You know how they always say, if mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Well, that really is not good, because everybody should be happy. You know, I mean, it should not just be you. Oh, yes, I got me a massage today, got my hair done, nails done too. You know, it's all about you, but what about somebody else? Kids can't get no shoes because you're spending all the money on you. That's not right, right? You know, you fly, everybody else look jacked up. That's not right, right? It's got to be around for everybody. So it cannot be just about you. And so, and, you know, contrary to popular belief, the world is not, it does not revolve around you. I mean, you should feel very good about yourself. And the Bible tells us to feel good about ourselves, not to feel more highly than we ought to, though, right? So the thing is, we ought to feel good about ourselves and want some things for ourselves. There is nothing wrong with having this desire to, you know, to look good, to smell good, to be good. But what about somebody else sometimes? You know, when you're married, you always want to go to Outback. Well, somebody want to go to Longhorn sometimes. You know, so let's share the love here, you know? So we got to share, all right? And one of the things about a person that is self-centered is they will hurt anyone in any way to fulfill their own desires. And that's not right. When you're willing to damage somebody else's character so that you can get elevated, that's not right. Well, I got my promotion. Well, you're not going to keep it for long because you didn't get it the right way. You know, so you make sure, again, we're going to do it God's way. And the Bible speaks against people that are always putting themselves first. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others, how? More significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So it tells us, let's not be all about us. and making sure that I'm good and nobody else is good. But I'm going to have a heart of humility. God, I thank you for what you've blessed me with. Now, ooh, look what I got. You know, you're always parading what you have. And that's fine, again, to take pride and joy in what you have. But no, God, thank you for blessing me with this that I have. You know, thank you for this house I get to live in. Thank you for my kids that are healthy. God, thank you that I get to, you know, wake up today and just go bless somebody else. That's a life of humility, where you're trying to help somebody else and give God the credit for it. Amen? Because in the end of the day, we have to realize that, you know, it's not all about us. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of fools seems right to who? To them. But the wise, they listen to advice. So the good thing is you have to make sure that you are listening to somebody else because, you know, in your eyes, when you're a person that's self-centered or always about you, you think you're always right. But that's not the case. You really are wrong sometimes. You know, you really are. And it's funny because Pastor would tell me all the time, like, you said this. I was like, no, I didn't say that. He said, no, you said, I said, babe, I did not say that. And I would be so adamant. And he was like, babe, I heard what you said. No, I heard what I said. I said, I didn't say that, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, then I'll go. Now I go this. Before I wasn't saying that. I was like, I didn't say that. But now I'm like, okay, well, maybe I said that, but this is what I'm saying. Okay, maybe you're right in this moment, but we have to be willing to say I'm wrong. Because everybody else is not always wrong. All right, everybody else is not always wrong, and you're always right, okay? So we have to learn that, you know what, I have to be, you know, a person that is willing to say, okay, I missed it this time. Because sometimes pride, it will just keep you from repenting, you know, from getting things right with people because you feel that what you said or what you're doing is the only way to do it, and that's not right, amen? So we have to remember, though, at the end of the day, that the wages of sin is death. And you can choose the sin, but you cannot choose the consequence. You can choose the sin you're going to commit, but you cannot choose the consequence for that sin. You know, you can choose to go out and commit adultery, but you cannot say, okay, God, I'll take, you know, staying at home for $5,000. It doesn't work that way. This is not Jeopardy. You cannot choose what sin you're going to take, but, you know, the consequence for the sin that you did. Amen. So we have to realize that, you know, we want to make sure that we are doing things God's way. Why? Because we want him to breathe on it. And we do things his way. He is committed to help us. Amen? So the first thing we have to do in order to keep going is we have to have a righteous resolve. And the second thing is we have to have right relationships. Amen? You know, Pastor always teaches us that we live and we die by the choices that we make, by the words that we speak, and by the company that we keep. Amen? Connections are very important if we're going to keep going. And you want to be around people who are going to encourage you and keep pushing you to not quit when times are difficult. Because it's easy to have somebody say, girl, I understand, just stop. you tried. You know, it's easy to have, you know, those people to say, you tried it, it didn't work, okay, try something else. But no, if this is a desire of your heart, you need people who are going to keep pushing you to keep moving forward, even though it may seem hard, even though it has taken a while. You want that person in your ear who is going to be speaking the word of God, you know what I mean, and not what people are saying about you in the street. You want people who are going to be rehearsing the scriptures in your ear, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Not, oh, girl, they say you crazy. Cray-cray is how they say it, right? But no, but we don't want those type of people. We want people who are going to have their ears open to God because you know what? God, I believe you're going to speak to my friend who's going to help me in this situation. Because you want people who are going to be there who are going to tell you, girl, God gave me a word just for you. And it's going to be an encouraging word. Amen. And at the end of the day, you want friends who are riding with you till the wheels fall off and not those who are going to leave because you got a flat tire. You know, I'm going to ride till the wheels fall off. But then that tire gets flat. Deuces. No, I don't want them kind of friends. We are rolling in this thing together. You go down, I'm going down with you. Not, oh, girl, you did wrong this time. No, you want somebody that's going to be there with you all the time. Amen. So the friend should assist you and strengthen you. Amen. And help you to grow and improve. You know, you do not want a friend who's always stroking your ego. You know, there should be times when a true friend is going to tell you the error of your ways. You shouldn't have said that way. You know that was wrong. You need a friend that's going to tell you the truth sometimes. And if you always get that person that's always telling you, oh, it's okay, I know what you meant. No, you were wrong. You know, I mean, that's what you want. That's what you need in your life. You may not want it, but that's what you need in your life is a true friend who is going to be honest and truthful with you. Let's read Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That friend should make you want to be better. That friend should make you like, man, you know, this is good that you're in my life. You know, because again, it's, you're pushing me to move forward, and you're, and that person is pushing you to move forward. Amen. Because again, it should be a relationship that is reciprocal. Amen. It should not be lopsided or one-sided, where you're always the one calling, always the one paying for lunch, always the one, you know, make sure they're good. They should be calling you. They should be paying for lunch. They should make sure you're good. Amen. So it should be a reciprocal relationship. Amen. See, people simply do much better by working together. Two really are better than one. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to read verses 9 through 12. Are you being blessed on this morning? Amen. Okay, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord, it is not easily broken. And I don't know about you, but it is good to have somebody in your corner. Amen. And it is great to know that if I'm in a situation that we can go back to back, we're going to hold each other up and keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is strength in numbers. And one of the things I love about our church is that the culture of our church is that we really are team driven. We're not about just one person always, you know, doing this or one person doing that. But no, we are a dream. We have a dream team, amen? So we believe in a team concept, because my thing is this, as Pastor always says, you can go fast by yourself or you can go far together. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. And one thing we have to, you know, forget about, and I know I was guilty of this before, is, you know, oh, I can just do it. I'll just do it myself. It's, you know, it ain't that hard. I'll just go ahead and do it, and, you know, I don't need no help. But why? You know, you really could take that opportunity to teach somebody else the same thing. That way, if you're not available, somebody could now take it and run with it or even make it better. But it was so easy for us to say, I got it. Don't worry about it. It's something small. I can just do it. But no, let's now do this thing together. That way you get two heads on it, a different perspective, and that way it can grow and be better. Amen. So God's way is not one of total independence from others. Amen. We have to realize it is a way of interdependence, of close relationships, and of working together as a well-trained team to accomplish the goals that he set before us. So there really is strength in numbers and making things better. And all of us need to actively seek to develop friendships with a godly perspective and motive. We can't miss out on good, quality, life-giving relationships because we discredit others due to their issues. So many times we discredit people because they've messed up. Well, so have we. Right? You haven't always had it together. So we cannot discredit people because they may have made some mistakes in the past. Just like God saved you, he could save them as well. But at the end of the day, one thing I don't like about the body of Christ as a whole is that it's become very judgmental. If it doesn't look like you, they ain't saved. If they don't talk like you, they ain't saved. So what does that mean? No, they're not saved, but you could be the person that could get them saved. But so many times you try to shun people off because, you know, they do things not like you do them. Do they have to be your best friend? No, but you should be a person that you can speak into their life to make them better, right? So we cannot be so, you know, in our little clique or our little corner because I'm saved, I'm holy, I'm righteous, but now we can't talk to somebody who's not. So how are we going to win them over if we're just always in our little clique, in our circle? You know, how can we bring them to Christ if we're always isolating ourselves from those people? So, again, you do have to, you know, put a line there. But at the end of the day, we have to win those people to experience the God that we are experiencing so that their life can be better as well. Amen. So first we talked about having a righteous resolve. We talked about right relationships. And lastly, we want to talk about reevaluations. In order to keep going, we have to reevaluate ourselves. And one of the things sometimes it's difficult to do is look at yourself in the mirror. Woo! Every day, though, we should make this a commitment to be better today than we were yesterday. You know, it's sometimes like, God, I did good yesterday, but she got me at lunch. So today, she ain't getting me today, God, you know? So we have to make sure that every day, okay, you know, I had a great day. I didn't go off on nobody. Praise God. Let's try 2 days of not going off on nobody. So, you know, we're making progress in this walk with God. Amen. And sometimes you just have to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself the hard questions. Are we really, you know, where we should be spiritually, physically, and emotionally? And a good thing I love about my life right now is that I have two great kids, and Hannah has taken after her mother and has taken on the love of Rocky. Oh, my God. I love that girl so much. I was like, yes. She is just like her mother. She loves Rocky. So last night, for those of you who don't know, I love every Rocky movie. Okay, there's one that's not bad. Okay, Okay, so you know, now they have Creed out, right? And yeah, see? I love you, Miss Olinda. I knew we had a connection, all right? So last night, Creed was on TV. Y'all know Creed was on TV last night? Yes, okay. Well, Creed was on TV last night, right? And so just so you know, if any Rocky movie or Creed is on any station, I don't care what the TV was on before, it is now on this Rocky movie or Creed's, okay? So Creed was on last night, and Hannah was in my room. So, of course, we're watching Creed. And so, of course, she loves it. And so they got to the part where Rocky was training Adonis. He told him, look in the mirror. And he said, what you're staring at is your toughest opponent. When you look in the mirror, you are staring at your toughest opponent. Because sometimes it is so like, oh, is that how I really look? You know, and this is not just natural, but you really can see, okay, I may need to be a little bit more patient right here. You know, I need to, you know, maybe not go off on everybody every time something don't go my way. You know, every time the food is cold, I don't have to always be mean to the waitress, you know. It's kind of like things that we have to work on, you know what I mean? And so, but God is saying, look in the mirror, because I'm going to show you you. But so many times we're so careful about how that person is not right that we're not concerned about ourselves. But the thing is, God showed you, you know, this plank in your eye, but you're so focused on the, you know, the little speck in their eye. But God says, no, look at you. Reevaluate yourself and what is stopping you from not going forward. You know, why are you, you know, still in the same place 6 months later? So we have to realize that if we would reevaluate ourselves, we can see what can be a hindrance from us moving forward, amen? Because the goal is to move forward, right? We don't want to keep marking time. We don't want to keep, you know, doing the same thing over, but the goal is to keep moving forward. So what is it that keeps, you know, I take two steps forward, then it's like, dog, I'm back here again. What is it that keeps making us keep going to this point only and not surpass that point? But when we reevaluate ourselves, we can see, okay, maybe I need to be a little bit more diligent here. Maybe I should be a little bit, you know, be more prayerful here with this person instead of just always, you know, being short with them. But God, he will show you what you need when you take that time to reevaluate yourself. Amen. So Psalms 51 and 7 should be one of our prayers. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And I don't know about anybody else. Again, we're not going to be perfect because we're human. So perfection is not even obtainable right now, okay? And that's not doubt. That's just reality. So, but the thing is, we can be as close to God as we can if we try. This whole thing is about, that's my issue. Yeah, that's your issue, but you can still work on that issue. You know, it should not be an excuse to remain the way you are. So, God, I thank you that you're showing me, and I'm working on it. You're showing me, and I'm working on it. It's not like you're showing me, I'm like, okay, God. You know, no, you're showing me, and I'm working on it. You know, we're all a work in progress, but we must do what we have to do to make sure that we're better, amen? And during this process, you must find somebody to be accountable to. Because if you're married, hopefully it could be your spouse. They'll be a great accountability partner for you during this pruning and this growing process. That way you can, you know, tell them what you're going through, and they'll pray with you. They'll help you, you know, to strengthen you during that time. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 11. And I'm already almost done. You can go ahead and play, Courtney. Oh, is that right? Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter. I feel like pastor for a moment. What happened to the clock? Okay, I'm almost done, I promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. So encourage your brothers and your sisters. Because again, we're there for a reason. You're in that person's life for a reason. That is to help them, amen? And to help them get to where they're going, and they're there to help you get to where you're going, amen? So as you're going through this reevaluation process and your desire to keep going, make the commitment to continue to pursue the presence of God. Because when you pursue the presence of God, guess what? He's going to meet you right there. And in his presence, there really is fullness of joy. He's going to give you the strength you need to keep going. He's going to give you the power, the wisdom you need to keep going. And again, he's going to help you through every stage of your life. And also, when you are going through this reevaluation process, prepare for promotion. God said, on the other side of this test, it really is promotion. But just keep going until you can see it. Don't stop short because it's been difficult. Don't stop short because you didn't necessarily know which way to go. But just keep praying for wisdom and guidance every step of the way, because every step you take is a step closer to your manifestation. Because if you just stop, again, if you're just sitting there looking at it, it's like I'm sitting here looking at Mrs. Jordan right now because I'm standing still. But if I would just start moving towards her, I would be closer to her. So it's just like if that's your manifestation, if you keep walking towards it, you really are a step closer to it. You may stop midpoint, but guess what? I'm not going to start over. I'm going to regain my strength. I'm going to keep moving forward till I get to my destination. Amen. And you're going to keep going, realizing that we were not created to quit. God did not create us to quit. Quit is not in us because God is in us. Amen. And I was thinking as I was studying for this lesson of a scripture that my dad told me years ago when we first started pastoring. It's amazing how this assignment comes with so many highs. Oh, my God, I love what we do. But unfortunately, there are some low points with this assignment that God has given us. And I don't remember what exactly was going on at the time, but I was talking to my dad about it. And he gave me this scripture, and this is a scripture that I live by every day. It is Proverbs 24:10. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you quit because it's tough, your strength is small. But guess what? God does not give you small strength. So don't quit. God did not give you small strength, so don't quit. God did not give you small strength, so don't quit. God did not give you small strength, so don't quit. Great strength is on the inside of you, but you just got to keep going. Again, it may not be easy. God knows it may not be easy. And I cannot say I know exactly what everybody's going through. It may be one of the toughest storms you have ever experienced in your life. But guess what? You can make it through it if you keep going. Why remain in the storm and keep getting beat on? You know what I mean? Keep going through it. Amen. So my last scripture, and I'm done, is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. It says, we are not like those people who turn back and get destroyed. We will keep on having faith until we are saved. So I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm not going to stop believing. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop confessing because that is not how God created me. God created me to keep going. So guess what? I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop short of everything that God has already prepared for me. I'm going to keep going until I see the manifestation of my prayers. Amen. Were you blessed on this morning? Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building on today? Amen. So let's bow our heads. Let's go forth in our time of appeals. For those of